Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Well, good morning, Cross Church family. We are thrilled that you are at church today. We are having an incredible summer together at Cross Church. So glad that you are a part of what God is doing right here and what we are calling the best summer ever. Now, I find it funny that we have titled the summer as the best summer ever because I am officially on sabbatical, meaning I am not here. So as the pastor, best summer ever, it's a little hurtful. I'm just kidding. We're glad you're here and really looking forward to what God's going to do in your own heart today. Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be today. Today, we're going to talk about judging others. That's right, judging others. All right, this is something that is extremely easy to do, and yet none of us like to be judged by other people. And so the Bible speaks directly to an issue of the heart that all of us deal with from time to time, whether we are the judger or whether we are the judged. And so let's dive in right now to the Word of God right here in Matthew chapter 7. Lord Jesus, we love you, and I pray that you would really do some intense heart work on us today, and that you would help us to be people who do not judge others. And we pray that you would do a Holy Spirit work in us right now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Well, amen, and good morning, and welcome to Cross Church. My name's Chris. I have the privilege of serving here as the campus pastor here at our Pinnacle Hills campus. And if you're a guest today in the room, I want to welcome you, say thanks for worshiping with us today. We're so excited you're here. I'm excited to be opening God's Word and sharing it with you today. I want to say a special welcome to our online audience today. Thanks for worshiping with us wherever you are. And if you're online and you're just kind of checking out Cross Church, I want to invite you to come join us at one of our campuses. There is nothing like being in the room and experiencing what God is doing at Cross Church. And next Sunday, Pastor Nick is back from sabbatical. So I'd invite you to come join us at one of our campuses next week and experience the Lord. Well, I hope you found Matthew chapter 7 in your Bible. It's on page 874 in my Bible, if that helps you. And probably doesn't, but we've been walking through what we're calling the greatest sermon ever, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And we have called it the greatest sermon ever because, number one, it's one of the longest recorded sermons of Jesus. So we really see Jesus give a lot of teaching in one setting. It's also a sermon where Jesus takes a concept about the kingdom of God and he flips it on his head. He says, the kingdom of God is not about a legalistic religion with a bunch of do's and a bunch of don'ts, but the kingdom of God is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's lived out the grace and the mercy every single day in front of a lost and dying world. And so he goes through area by area by area, and he often says, you've heard it said or you've seen it taught, and he usually deals with an external action, and then he says, but I say, and he often deals with an internal attitude. He'll say, you've heard it taught, and he deals with an external action, and then he says, but I say, and he goes right to the heart. He gets right to our hearts, and he says, it's as much about your heart as it is about your action. Because he'll say later in the Bible that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, and I believe our lives live. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, he's getting directly to the heart of things. And in chapter 7, we turn a page, and we see him go towards this concept of judging others. And so if you're taking notes today, let me just go ahead and give you the big idea right up front in the sermon today. And here it is. The filter by which I judge others is the grace and mercy I have received from God. The filter by which I judge others is the grace and the mercy that I've received from God. I was 23 years old, and I was just a few months into my very first full-time ministry position. I was serving in college ministry, and God was moving and up to things. And I remember one afternoon, just a couple months in, my phone rings, and I look at the phone, and it's my stepmom, which was very odd for her to call me. We didn't really have that kind of relationship. And so it meant something was going on with my dad. And my dad is 50 years older than I am. And so at that point, a call from her probably meant bad news. And so I got to a private location, and I answered the phone, and she said, Chris, your father's been arrested. And she went on to explain at this point what he was arrested for and some of the details. And in that moment, my world just kind of crumbled. I was angry. I was upset. I felt guilty, felt embarrassed. So I made it through the rest of the day, and I got in my 88 Ford Ranger with no air conditioning, and I just started driving the back roads. And I threw myself a little pity party in that truck, and I asked the question why 100 times, and I thought about all the ramifications because I'm from a little small town and you know, all those good things. And somewhere along that drive, instead of asking why, in anger and frustration and embarrassment, I threw out a question to God and I said, God, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord that day said to me, I forgave you. And immediately I said, God, but I didn't. And he didn't even let me get out the sin. He said, I forgave you. And I went around and around with that, but I didn't, two or three more times. And finally, I realized God was reminding me what the Bible says, that I was a sinner and that the wages of sin is death, the judgment of God for all of eternity. That sin actually positioned me to be what the Bible calls an enemy of God. And I deserve the wrath of God, but God loved me. And Christ died for me. And by his grace and his mercy, he saved me. And he gave me a relationship with him. He gave me the opportunity to be in that truck at that moment, having that conversation with him. You see, it was the grace and the mercy of God that changed me. It was the grace and the mercy of God that forgave me. And as we enter this conversation talking about judging others, I believe the filter by which God is calling us to judge other people is the grace and the mercy that we have received from God. That is the starting point. That is the place where we, when we feel like it's time to judge, that's where we start. And if that's gonna be true, I believe that Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 is gonna give us three actions today to just practically live out in our own life. Action number one is this: judge others the way I want to be judged by God. Judge others the way I want to be judged by God. He says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure that you use. Now, I believe this is maybe often one of the most misunderstood and misquoted passages in the Bible. You often hear people when living in sin and they have no desire for the things of the God, they'll make a statement like, don't judge me. You can't judge me. The Bible says, don't judge, right? You also find that when I know someone in my life that God is calling me to, I know someone in my life that God is wanting me to evangelize or play a role in their life, I'll often say, well, I mean, I can't judge them. I know what's going on in my own life, right? Like, it often becomes a statement of apathy, a statement of staying away from dealing with real things in life. And I don't think that's the point of what Jesus is saying. In fact, we'll see that just a little later, that Jesus is not making a blanket prohibition against all judgment and discernment, but he is making a prohibition against judgment that is done in self-centered pride. Again, the Sermon on the Mount, he goes away from the action and he goes to the heart. He goes away from just what you do and don't do, and he says, what's your heart behind it? What's your heart in it? And if you'll be reminded, he's speaking to a bunch of people who've been under a religious system that you must do the right thing or don't do the right thing, and if not, there's consequences. And there's these religious leaders called the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are doing everything they can to just place a burden upon the Jewish people, just continue to give them more. We've seen that as we've walked through the Sermon on the Mount. Some things Jesus says, you've heard it said, or you've read it, and some of those are from the Bible, and some of those are extra things the Pharisees have thrown on them. And so here is a people who has just been loaded down by the weight of a religious system, and Jesus says, that's not what it's about. It's about your heart. It's about what's going on inside of you. And in that context, he calls us not to be people who are characterized by judgmental attitudes, not to be people who walk around thinking it is our job to judge other people. And so maybe this morning to be helpful for us to say, like, why do we judge others? What leads us to that place? And I just thought of a few things. We could have a massive list here, but I just thought of a couple things. The first one I think is this, it's pride. It's when our own pride wells up and it's easier to push others down instead of lifting other people up with us. I think another one is jealousy. When we see others through social media or through interactions at church or out in the community, when we see others and they have stuff we don't have, it's very easy to pick at them. It's very easy to point out where they're wrong, even though really, in all honesty, I wish I was living what they're living. I think insecurity, I don't know about your life, but in my life, insecurity becomes a place where I'm very quick to judge others on the places that I'm insecure in my own, kind of overcompensate for my own insecurities. I think a desire to build our egos, again, goes back to that pride thing. One I didn't write down, but you should. I think unforgiveness is a place in our life that causes us to judge others, not just the person we need to forgive. If you were here a few weeks ago, R.T. Kendall brought an incredible message on forgiveness. If you weren't here, or really probably even if you were, we should all probably go back and listen to that one on repeat, right? But I hope you realize unforgiveness doesn't just impact the way you deal with the person you're mad at. It impacts the way you deal with everyone. One of my favorite statements on unforgiveness is, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the person you're mad at to die. That's unforgiveness. It eats you alive. It affects every relationship, and probably the person you're mad at doesn't even know you're mad at them. So then how does this come out, right? So this is kind of why. Then how does it come out in our life? Well, the moment we start the comparison game, we're probably judging others. The moment we start looking and seeing what they have, what I don't have, why should they have that? You know, surely they're living on debt. They can't afford that, right? Like, the moment I start the comparison game, I'm judging other people. The moment I start doing, and comparison really leads to this thing called coveting, which is a Bible term that I am putting in a place of idolatry what you have, even though I don't have it. So I'm making this way bigger than it needs to be, and I'm just all the time thinking about it, wanting it, desiring it. I think if you get to a place of gossip, you know you're in a place of judgment. If you're a place where you're talking about other people, or you're in a place that you're well, did you know this about them? I mean, I think the moment we cross that line of gossip, we're judging other people. And if we're living in a place of hate, we're judging. I don't know if any of those resonate with you this week, but as I've worked through this message over the last couple weeks, I can just tell you, my toes are sore because God's been stomping on them. And Jesus wants us to see that he is calling us not to be people with critical, judgmental attitudes, not to look at the shortcomings, the faults of others, and just be people who pounce on them. You know, one area of my life this week that I think God also reminded me of, I tend to judge people who are different, who have different personalities, who enjoy different hobbies, who don't think the same way that I think. And instead of seeing them as a person who is created by the Almighty God with gifts and talents in his image, I tend to see them as wrong because they're not like me. And God is calling us. Some of you are like, Chris, you're terrible. I am, I know. If you only knew the preacher. And Jesus is just cautioning us to not be critical in our hearts, to not allow it to overflow to our actions. But he goes further than just don't judge, because often in the Bible, if Jesus would just stop, it'd be okay, but then he keeps going, right? And he goes further than don't judge. He says, however you choose to judge, however you choose, the measure you use to judge someone is the same standard that's gonna be used against you. Now, you've seen that in your house if you're raising kids, right? Like every kid wants to be judged differently. They don't want to be judged like the rest of their siblings. And you bring some kind of, this is what we did with them. That's what we're going to do with you. But the reality of it is we tend to miss that as adults, right? It's okay to act this way, to be this kind of judgmental towards people. But the moment somebody starts that towards us, we lose everything. We just get all in a tizzy. But Jesus says, not only might you be judged by men with the same standard, but you will be judged by God. He reminds us of that in Romans chapter 14. It says this, but you, why do you judge your brother or your sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or your sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account to God himself. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide to never put a stumbling block or a pitfall in the way of your brother or your sister. In just a couple weeks, Jesus is gonna give us the golden rule, which you remember that growing up in school, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think that's exactly what he's saying to us today. Judge others the way you would want them, but more importantly, the way you would want God to judge you. And I think it's important for us to be reminded that there will come a point that we all stand before God. If today you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says you'll stand before the great white throne of judgment. But even believers will stand before what the Bible calls the Bema seat of Christ. And everything we did for Jesus Christ will be judged. And that which is not of pure intentions, that which was not done for the glory of God will be thrown into the fire. And that which is will be rewarded in heaven. And so Jesus is reminding us, hey, don't take the place of God. Don't judge other people. He's reminding us to see people through the grace and the mercy of God that we have received. And so I need to judge others the way I want to be judged. And again, in just a moment, we'll see this is not an absolute prohibition against seeing what is truly sin in someone else's life and trying to help them be free of that sin. No, he's warning us against hasty condemnations. He's warning us against a critical, judgmental spirit. John Stott says this, to judge not is not a requirement to be blind, but rather a plea to be generous. Jesus does not tell us to cease to be men by suspending our critical powers, which to help to distinguish us from the animals, but to renounce the presumptuous ambition to be God by setting ourselves up as judges. This is a prohibition against taking the place of God. This is a prohibition against allowing pride to well up in my life and be a person who chooses to judge others that way. Jesus is calling us towards love and grace just as we've received. So the filter by which I must judge others is the grace and mercy I've received from God. Action number two, if we're gonna live out a life of choosing to follow Jesus' teaching on judgment, is to deal with my own sin before dealing with others. Deal with my own issues before dealing with others. He says that in verse 3. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye and do not notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye. So Jesus is giving us this illustration. He's given us this metaphor of what we tend to do when it comes to sin. And he says, hey, listen, there's a splinter in your brother's eye. There's a speck in your brother's eye. I don't know if you've ever had like an eyelash or a small piece of wood in your eye. And man, it irritates you. You start crying. You start like looking in the mirror. You like ask your spouse or a friend to come over. And you're like, can you see it? Can you see it? And they're like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. But you're like, what if your friend that came to look at it was a person with a 2x4 sticking out of their eye? That's the picture he's painting here. But instead of us being the speck and our friend being the 2x4, he's flipping it. And he's saying, how in the world can you be worried about a small eyelash when you've got a beam sticking out of your face. And he's calling us to deal with what's going on in our own life. I don't know about you, but man, I'm really good at seeing other people sin and not noticing my own. I'm really good at picking up little things in other people's life and missing big things in my own life. And Jesus is saying, focus on yourself first. Look inside first. Don't criticize others when we have far more serious shortcomings in our own life. And I would just tell you, pride is a big deal. Maybe you're here today and you're listening to me talk about speck and beam and you're thinking, well, that person has this going on or that person has that going on. I would just tell you, pride is a really big deal in the Bible. So Jesus says, deal with your own stuff first. Apply the same microscope to your own life that you're applying to other people's life. And then verse 5, he says this, hypocrite. Take the beam of wood out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eyes. He uses a very harsh word here, this word hypocrite. And that's not a word I need to define for you, but it's a word that he will use over and over and over again to talk about the religious leaders of the day as they continue to pile things on people and they don't live it out in their own life. And it's a word in this passage that he now directs to us as believers. He says, when you have a 2x4 sticking out and you're looking for specks in everybody else's eye, you are a hypocrite. So then he invites us. He says, deal with your stuff. Deal with your own sin. And can I just tell you this? What we are looking at in others people's lives, it might be things that need to be dealt with, but we got to deal with our own junk first. So what he's not saying is just ignore everybody's sin. What he's saying is get in a right place with the Lord first. Jesus has called us to a high righteousness that can only be achieved through a personal relationship with him. But what I do enjoy about this passage and what I find refreshing is he knows there will be time that we get specks in our eye. He knows there'll be time when we get logs in our eye. So deal with those logs. Deal with those specks, but do it in the right way. Not judging others is not also a reason for us not to deal with our own sin, right? I find sometimes people will say, well, I can't judge others because of what's going on in my own life. And it becomes an excuse for apathy. It becomes an excuse for me to just, because I'm not going to judge others, I can live however I want. And Jesus in this passage is saying, no, come close to me. When I realize how much grace I need from God and I get serious about choosing to live in that grace and I deal with the stuff in my own life, I'm in a humble, grace-filled place to help other people deal with what's going on in their life, right? When I realize every single day how much grace and mercy I need from God, I'm way more equipped and I'm at a much better place to help other people deal with their sin through grace and through mercy. I read this week, Stuart Weber said a good summary of this is, do not judge others until you are prepared to be judged by the same standard. And then when you exercise judgment towards others, do it with humility. If someone's sin breaks my heart, not makes me angry, not makes me judgmental, not causes me to want to gossip, but if someone's sin truly breaks my heart for them, then I might be in a right place to be ready to help them deal with their sin. That's why we believe at Cross Church that people need each other, why the local church and a small group is so important, because I week in and week out, I gather together with the body of Christ and I gather together with my small group and I do this thing called life together, and I'm encouraged not to be judgmental but to run closer to Jesus Christ. I'm encouraged to find grace and to find mercy, not to pretend about my sin, but to get right with the Lord and to deal with my sin. I don't know if you've ever noticed that when you encounter somebody who's gone through something and come out on the other side, we're far more apt to listen to them. Maybe that's in your business world. You found somebody that's gone through a hard time. They've dealt with a tough boss. They've gone through a changing market, and they're on the other side of that, and they're able to speak, and you're like, you're listening because you know their story. You know what they've come out of. Or maybe it's someone who's just gone through an incredibly hard time in their life. And now on this side of it, they are walking close to Jesus and they are sharing with you. And when we hear that and we go through a similar thing, we are so much more likely to listen to what they have. That's why our ministries here like Trauma Reboot and Grief Share and Divorce Care are such powerful things that we offer here as a church. But what if every one of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, every day we're reminded how much grace and mercy my sin needs? And then I judge other people that same way. I think far more people would be excited to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think far more people would see Christ in us, not just hear a message from us. Which leads me to action number three today. Use discernment when helping others with their sin. Use discernment when helping others with their sin. In verse 6, Jesus says this: don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under feet, turn, and tear you to pieces. Now, some of you are like, what in the world is going on here? That came out of left field. We were talking about wood and specks, and now we're talking about dogs and hogs, right? Like that kind of came out of left field. But I want you to know the Bible, what we do is we read things in the context. So when Jesus is talking about pigs and dogs, he's talking about things that would be regarded as unclean. And so he's saying, don't give holy things to uncleanness. And so contextually, here's what I think he's saying. Use caution and discernment when helping others with their sin so you don't mar the name of the kingdom of God. You see, there is a powerful way to help people with their sin, and there's a wrong way to help people with their sin. There's a way when I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I'm overwhelmed by the grace and the mercy that I've received that I can approach and I can help someone walk out of their sin and be closer to Jesus Christ. And there's a way that I can try to help someone in their sin and I can honestly make them hate me and the church far more. And so I think Jesus is saying, Be cautious. Use discernment. Now that's, again, not a prohibition against helping people out of sin. It's not a prohibition against judgment. It's a prohibition to make sure we're where we need to be and we seek the glory and we seek the grace of God to help us help them. And I think the key word in this is brother. He said brother over and over. We read in Romans chapter 14, brother. And brother in the New Testament refers to all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, we're family is what the Bible says. That you're my brother, you're my sister. There are no crazy cousins in our family. We're all brothers and sisters. But I think it's even more than brother and sister. I think it designates relationship. Right? Because there are people all across the world who are our spiritual brothers and sisters, but I have no relationship with them. And if I walked up to some random person tomorrow and pointed out a speck in their eye, that probably wouldn't go very well. But when I have a relationship with someone, when I'm close to someone, when I know how they tick, now I can start trying to help them and I can start trying to push them towards Jesus. It reminds me of this proverb in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. It says, don't rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke the wise and he will love you. So we must take care with whom and how we share truth. Is what and how I'm about to say going to push someone to Jesus, or is it going to push them away from Jesus? Am I walking in the Spirit? Am I filled with grace and mercy? Is my heart breaking because I see what their sin is doing in their life? And in that grace and mercy and filled with the Spirit, I'm approaching them, or am I doing it out of pride? I also think it's important to be reminded that the greatest need people have is a relationship with Jesus, not moralism. The greatest need people have is a relationship with Jesus. So as I'm dealing with friends and I'm dealing with coworkers, the first question has to be, do they know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Are they claiming to be a follower of Jesus? Because their greatest need and my greatest goal is not morality, it's that they would have a personal interaction with Jesus. And someone told me this a long time ago, and man, it's helped me as I've dealt with things. Lost people act lost, and we should expect them to act that way. And so my goal is not morality, it's a relationship. And if my attitude is judgmental, if my attitude is wrong, man, I can push them away from Jesus instead of towards Jesus. If my heart's not breaking for them because of their sin, man, it's so easy to come across as judgmental. I had an evangelism professor that used to say this all the time. It's stuck in my brain 20 years past. He said, the only thing people ought to trip over on the way to Jesus is the cross. Not the way you shared it with them, not the way that you pointed them to him. The only thing they ought to trip over is the cross. So I must use discernment. I must use wisdom when helping other people. Because the filter by which I'm gonna judge others is grace and mercy, because that's what I've received from God. And maybe you're here today and you're going, Chris, that sounds easier said than done. Well, let me give you just some real practical takeaways today. The first takeaway is this: preach the gospel to myself daily. If I hope to live out these three action steps in my life, I've got to preach the gospel to myself daily. It means every day I've got to spend time with Jesus. And if I'm not spending time with Jesus every single day, if I'm not being reminded of the grace and the mercy that I've received in my own life, I promise you it's going to be real hard to give other people that same grace and mercy. But every day as I spend time with him, man, I'm going to stop at some point and I'm going to be reminded that I was a sinner deserving of the wrath of God. I was separated from God because of my actions, because of my thoughts, because of my heart. And Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. He stepped in my place and he extended grace and mercy to me from God that I could not earn and I did not deserve. And he saved me and he gave me a relationship. Every day I'm gonna preach the gospel to myself, because when I'm overwhelmed by grace and mercy, there's a good chance I'll share it with other people. Number two, I gotta deal with my own sin regularly. Every morning, every night, Lord, search me, know me, see if there's any wicked way in me. Forgive me. And that's what the Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every day in my life, multiple times a day, I gotta stop and say, Lord, please forgive me. Thank you for your grace. But when I learn to live in a continual state of repentance, man, I position myself to be ready to help others, because I know the grace and the mercy I just received a few minutes ago for my sin. Number three, we gotta learn to look at people the way Jesus looks at people. See people through the eyes of Jesus, which they're loved. This week as I was preparing, I just couldn't get away from one of those last statements of Jesus on the cross. People who were nailing him to the cross, people who were shouting at him, who were mocking him. And to the Father, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I just thought, you know, I've got to look at people with that same kind of heart. I've got to look at people with those same eyes. And then number four, I got to choose humility. I got to choose every day to walk in humility. I would just remind you this: if pride wins everywhere else in your life, it's also going to win when it comes to judgment. If pride wins everywhere else in your life, it's also going to win when it comes to the place of judgment. So I've got to deal with pride daily, moment by moment, not just when I'm considering judging someone else, but I got to do it when I'm considering looking at colleagues, when I'm considering looking at everything in my life. And when I sniff pride, I got to snuff it out. And I got to choose humility. So what about you today? How's your heart? Because that's really what the Great Commission is about, right? It's about our hearts. That's what the greatest sermon ever is about. It's about our hearts. So if you'd bow your head and you'd close your eyes. As you do that, I want to tell you this last little story. I want you to just focus on it. A little girl goes to her dad, and she's trying to understand the things of Jesus. She's trying to understand the things of the church. And she starts with the big one, like, God, like, Dad, how big is God? And so her dad, trying to understand how to explain to a young child, says, babe, God is huge. He holds the world in his hand. He is the Almighty. He is everywhere. God is big. So she walks away. She comes back a few minutes later. You can tell wheels are spinning in her mind. And she says, well, where does God live? And so he takes this as an opportunity and he says, well, one day when you ask Jesus to save you, he comes to live inside of your heart. She walks away, wheels still turning. She comes back a few minutes later. And she says, well, Dad, if God is huge and he comes to live inside of our heart, shouldn't he stick out? I think that's the point of the Sermon on the Mount. And I think that's the point of our passage today. Jesus has changed us. If Jesus lives inside of us, then man, he ought to stick out in every area of our life, including the way we interact with people through this thing called judgment. And today he's calling us to be people who deal with our own sin and then encourage other people to Jesus. And so I don't know what you came in here with today. I don't know how God's been speaking to your heart today. Maybe you need to just spend the next few moments as we sing responding to the Lord and just confessing judgment or pride in your life. Maybe there's honestly someone across the room that you've been judgment, maybe even gossiping, and you need to go to that person and you just say, please forgive me. Maybe you want to come to this altar and you just want to do business with the Lord. And maybe you're here today and here's the truth. As we've talked about judging others through the filter of the grace and the mercy we've received from God, you've never received that grace and mercy. There's never been a moment that you have turned from your sins, surrendered your life to the Lord, and by faith asked him to save you. Our staff are going to be down front as we prepare to sing. In just a moment, I want to invite you, come to one of these staff members. Say, today I need to be forgiven by the Lord. And they'll walk you through what that looks like. Maybe today you need someone to pray with you. I don't know what you got going this week. I don't know what hard things are in front of you, but I know it would be a joy for one of our staff members to pray with you in these next few moments about whatever it is. Our altar is open. We just want to respond to the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and we're going to sing together, and I hope you will respond to Jesus. So Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to not just live life, but to know how to live life. And Lord, today, may we fall more in love with you. I pray in the next few moments that, Lord, if there's someone in here that needs to be saved, that they would take that step and that all of us would just respond to you. We love you.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.